God,
grant
me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I'm old, TJ.
Can we do it?
Yeah.
All right, TJ, at it.
TJ.
Middle of page 84, after the promises. This thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take a personal inventory and continue to set any new mistakes along as we go. And this is where the information comes in of what we've done and why this step is located where it is. I'm actually going to say something that contradicts that later, but let's just go with it right now. So if we vigorously commence this way of living as we've cleaned up the past. Now we've entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. So basically what that's saying is this is follows or the preceding step, which is a ninth step. So does that mean that all amends have to be made before you do a tenth step? No. And in fact, and I say something that may be controversial to the beliefs of some other people, but I believe that I teach brand new guys at least some of the tenets and ideas of step 10 right away. But more importantly, step 11. But a little bit of the thing that there's an understanding that we can't be effective in step 10 until we've done the rest of the work. And I don't always agree with that. Now, I know that if I get to step 8 and I make this list and I decide that I don't want to make any amends because it's uncomfortable and I just want to jump to step 10, that's totally ineffective. But if I've made a beginning on step 9, because nowhere in the promises that we all know that have been reading, it says we are being made and we're halfway through. Well, that's all relative to how many amends you have to make. You know, if you've got 1,000, it's halfway through 500. If you've got 20, halfway through. I mean, everybody's halfway is different. But it is involved in this way of life. We were actively and openly making amends and feeling a part of. And it's kind of something you'll sense in your heart that I'm really doing this or I'm not. Many of you guys have probably gotten to that stage before, and it's like, I made a really good list, but I'm not making amends. Or I'm going to make the easy ones, and I'm not going to do the other ones. And then it's more difficult to drive into step 10 with that type of thinking. When you're actually living it, it feels basically the admission to do the ticket that costs to get to 10 and 11 has been paid by the guys who do the work in 9, you know, essentially the way it works for me. So the way we were taught, the other good thing about step 10 is it talks about what Dylan talked about. The 10th step promises is that the drug and alcohol problem has been removed at this time. And the most important part about it is it comes without any thought or effort on our part. That is the miracle of it. So again, this program is not about getting clean and sober. It's about developing a relationship with God and being helpful to others. And it says that although we think we have done all this work, the significant work has been done by God. Because it comes on without our work and not our effort, it just comes. It's a miracle. We are not fighting. It's just the way it is. It's just the idea today that, you know, I'm pretty certain that I'll go 24 hours a day and not have any thought about picking up a drug or alcohol. It's just not part of my life anymore. Now, we talked about we do not recover from the spiritual side, so that's why I'm here, and that's why I'm still actively working the 10th step. I do not actively work a 10th step to stay away from the first drink. I've been told and promised that I'm protected from the first drink. It is not an issue anymore. You'll hear people say living one day at a time. That is not staying sober one day at a time. This book is not about getting sober one day at a time. This is about getting sober, staying sober, and dying sober. The one day at a time thing is the spiritual aspect of it, the selfishness and the insecurity and the jealousy and the ego and all the other stuff I deal with. Those things are day-to-time basis, because those things are still there. They still pop up. The way we were taught, and I know that I was, and Dylan, you know, had the same teacher in a lot of ways, the way we do step 10 is, if you really break down what it says, that we continue to watch. That's the first thing it says. We watch for selfishness, self-seeking behaviors, and when these crop up, we ask them to be removed, and we turn our attention. Those will be helpful, you know. It seems kind of crazy the way it works, but it's different than waiting for these things to happen. We watch for those things to happen. So it's like we're having an out-of-body experience, watching ourselves do life And if you watch long enough, the stuff is coming. You know, like I talked about earlier, when I get up in the morning, the first thought that comes into my mind is about self-service, you know. So it pops up right away. And then fear comes in, and it pops up right away. If we watch for these things to happen, you'll notice it's kind of depressing at times when you do a 10-step actively and you realize that you've watched selfishness and insecurity and fear, anxiety, or whatever pop up 55 times in a 24-hour period. But again, we talked about that's the beautiful part of this thing. We are not getting better. You're not, that's not right. We are getting better, but we're not getting cured. So if you have a day where this thing pops up, it's a blessing because that means I get to pray. I get to talk to God 55 times a day. And so the experience that I have, I focused, when I began this process, I focused on one or two areas that were common for me. And for whatever reason, one of the things that I have is I have fear for the health and safety of my children. Now, I don't know where it came from. I know all fathers have that, but mine is kind of exaggerated a bit, and it's kind of always there. I'm the bubble wrap helicopter dad, you know, get off that, slow down, don't run, don't eat that, slow, you know, that kind of deal. And I had these things where I would have a thought that one of my kids had something really bad wrong with them. My oldest daughter used to wet the bed when she's real little, and I was convinced that she was diabetic because I Googled it. Now, I had no information. I had no information or evidence to suggest that. It's just a thought that came in my mind. And for me, it was the most horrible thing in the world because I would think about it, and it would fester. And I don't know about you guys, but when I'm in fear, I'm pretty much worthless to the world around me. I'm not helping anybody. I'm not moving forward. I'm just stuck in this fear. And my sponsor pointed out that it was actually a good thing because it was an opportunity to grow closer to God. So this is the way it works in practical application. The fear pops up. I'm watching for it because I know it's coming. As soon as it pops up, God, please remove this fear. The way we were taught in the breakdown is that we ask God at once to remove it. We don't ask that it be removed at once, but our first reaction is to ask God to intervene because he might not want to remove it. The next thing we do is we ask for it to be removed, and then we turn our direction the other way. Now, I used to read the 10th step, and if you read it in detail there, it says that we go turn our attention to someone that can be helped. Now, if you guys are in a situation here, no job, nothing going on, I mean, you got the schedule here, you have the opportunity to every time go turn your attention to somebody who needs help. Give them a cigarette, whatever, talk to them, you know, whatever. But when you're out in the real, like if you're working a full-time job, I can't clock out and go to work and go to a halfway house and talk to a guy. But that's not necessarily what it means. What it means now is that I turn towards the thing I was doing before the disturbance happened, okay? And it's really practical. So this is what happened at work. I have a fear. I watch for it to happen. I know it's coming. I stop, ask God to remove it. And I turn my attention after a couple of breaths to what I was doing before. What was I doing? Walk into work. Send this email, make this call, send this proposal, and I get recentered, and I'm able to experience the presence of God in that moment. I heard a guy say one time that the only time you can really experience the presence of God is in the moment. Okay, so if I'm in the future, I can't do it, and I definitely if I'm living in the past, I can't do it. So I stop, two or three breaths. Okay, what was I doing? The great thing about 10th step is, and that working it that way, is that I'm able to do it anywhere, anytime, no matter what the situation is. I can sit and do it in a meeting at work. I can do it in a bathroom, sit watching TV, wherever I am. There's no requirement that I call a sponsor every time. There's no requirement that I do anything other than watch, ask, and turn. Watch, ask, and turn. And you guys can start practicing that now. Anger comes up. God, remove this anger. God, remove this fear. All the things that pop up that disturb us immediately, and when those disturbances pop up, I mean, you guys may be cool for 2 hours, and all of a sudden you think about a court date, and all of a sudden you're derailed. You don't want to be here. Fuck everybody here. I'm full of fear, full of anxiety. Watch, ask, turn. Now, the next part of that, it says we discuss someone immediately. That doesn't always have to be the case. If I called my sponsor every time I experience fear, anxiety, or self-doubt, I would not have a job because I'd be on the phone constantly calling him.
You wouldn't have a sponsor either.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a sponsor either. He would ditch me. Now, there are certain things that we should call about. You know, the big stuff. We know the big stuff, right? But this step 10 is not about building my relationship deeper with my sponsor. It's about building a relationship with God. So I've read all to this point, and I've read stuff about now we're relying on God. He is the Father. We are the, all this stuff. Now I put it in practical application. Because for most of us, when shit hits the fan, there is, we say, I'll just go to a meeting or I'll call somebody up. But oftentimes that's not the case. That's not what actually happens. And you can't go to a meeting. Meeting's only an hour. It's 24 hours a day. What are you going to do in the other 23 hours? This is designed to be not just in spot check inventory, what some people say, which is bullshit. This is to be in constant communication with God from the time my eyes open to the time I go to bed. Okay? Now, the good thing is I'm here to report that a lot of the fear that I dealt with my children, I have outgrown it. Now, I didn't, when God removes it, he may remove it for an hour. It never says, ask God to remove it forever and never deal with it again. That doesn't work that way. But a year later, that fear transitioned into the fear of my career. There's always going to be something that pops up. It's relational issues or whatever, fear of my marriage. For whatever reason, just because an alcoholic, I have the most loyal, classy wife in the world, and a month ago I thought she was cheating on me. Just for 30 seconds I had a thought. I don't know where it came from, and then I have to ask God to remove it. And then I go talk to somebody and they say, you're fucking stupid. Where'd that come from? I don't know, but I discussed it. So if you guys do this for a year, report back to me, whatever it is, the fear, anxiety, ego, the thing that pops up all the time, you'll notice, I'll ask you if it's gone, and you'll say no. And so you'll think it's not working. But then I'll ask you, how many times have you had a conversation with your God in the last year? And you'll say 15,000. That's the whole point of it. It's not to outgrow these things, and it's to constantly be reminded of the need of God. It's all about what this is. So the fear is not a bad thing. The anxiety is not a bad thing. It is a vehicle that uses us to reconnect to the power that has us here in the first place. So do it. Watch, ask. And what happens is when you have a really good day where you don't mess up, I'll be driving home from work and realize I hadn't done it all day. For me, it's easier to chase after and pursue God when things are going bad. When they're good, man, I'm good, you know. However, if I have a life without fear and anxiety, what's the point of praying? So it's supposed to be there, just like the character defects we talked about. There is no removal and they're gone forever, because if they're gone forever, why do you need God? If you guys could stay sober on your own, why are you here? It's the same situation with us now. So it's a very broad thing. You can start practicing this idea that we're watching ourselves having this experience, and also knowing that I can lay in bed at night and say, I had to do the 10th step 100 times today. Does that mean something's wrong with me? Say, no. It means that I am aware of my brokenness and I can turn it to God over and over. If you lay in bed at night and say, I didn't have 10th step pop up, not because you're better, it's because you ain't watching. Okay? Mm-hmm. So we go to step 11. Many people, you hear people all the time in meetings say, I did a nightly 10th step inventory. The nightly inventory is not in the 10th step. It didn't really matter. You can stay sober even if you think it's not. But I'm just telling you, it bothers me that people say that. So step 11, very personal situation. Now, one of the things was when I was talking to Tarek when I began this, I realized right away that Tarek was a guy that was going to take me deeper into this book than I'd been before and wasn't going to bullshit me. And I had something that I'd never experienced before in a real way, and that was humility. Because I'm the guy that had been sober for a long time, so I didn't ask questions anymore. I thought I knew it all. But I actually asked him one day, I need to learn how to pray and meditate. Okay, I don't know how to do it. I've been doing some, I used to, what I do is I'd walk around the house as I'm praying and getting ready and doing all my stuff. It wasn't a focused thing. It wasn't really a sacrifice of my time doing it on the way out the door. And he explained it to me. First, he asked me, why do you want to do it? Now, I know the good recovered answer is because I want to grow deeper in my relationship with God. But I told him the truth. It's because I want my life to be better. Mm. That's why I was praying and meditating, to get something out of it. All right, God, I'm getting up early. I'm coming to connect with you. So take all my fear and anxiety and pain away. Bless me financially. Take care of all these things. You hold up your end of the deal, and that's not the way it works. I really didn't get anything out of it until I made a decision that sincerely to approach that time as win, lose, or draw, whatever happens, I'm connected with you first. You know, and that's what I did. And so he led me out a practical application. I'll tell you guys, because sometimes it's difficult to start. I start by meditating. Now, how do you, I don't fucking know how you meditate, so don't nobody ask me. But the idea of clearing the mind of all the thoughts and fears, when I figure out how to do that, I'll let you guys know, but I haven't got it yet. I started out with 4 minutes. It was all I could do to sit still for 4 minutes. There's apps on your phone. I listen to music. I tried all this stuff, breathing in and out. And now I'm up to like 30. If I have 30 minutes of breathing in and out, drinking coffee, meditating, if I have 5 minutes of peace in that 30 minutes, I feel like it's been an amazing day. But again, it's not about what I'm getting out of it. It's about I'm waking up in the morning and say, still not the manager. You're still the dad. I'm still in charge. I'm putting you first. Every one of us woke up for a long time and reached over to the nightstand, reaching for that pipe or needle or bottle or whatever. We put that first for a long time. So this is a new life to live for me. And after that, it was I put video games first, or I put sleeping in first, or reach over and rub on my wife's ass for a little while first, whatever it was. There was always something. And now, and actually part of that is, you know, some men, I'm getting a little older, but I'm still a little fired up in that area. So sometimes in the morning, I'm kind of ready. If I don't get out of bed, I won't make it to that couch. It's just one of those things. It's a self-sacrifice thing. I got to wait till the night. I got to get to that couch. So I meditate. Oftentimes, I'll pray during the meditation. It always changes. Sometimes I pray after. I read. I was told to read 2 or 3 pages of something very slowly, not try to run through and read 6 or 7 pages, a whole chapter of a book. Sometimes it gets like, sometimes I get in the book and I read and read and read. Sometimes there is no prayer after it. The whole point is I get up an hour before I'm supposed to. There's a requirement that I get up by 6 to go to work and get there on time. So I get up at 5. And I do all this stuff, and I have my coffee. Now, my house, I got a 9-year-old and an 8-year-old. So about 6:15, that house goes from a quiet sanctuary to a madhouse, even on good days. They're running around, where's the shoes, where's the water bottle, where's the computer, do your hair, eat your breakfast. And it goes, if I wait that long, I'm not going to do it. So I have to be alone and quiet. I sit in the same spot every time. I tried burning incense one time. My wife complained about the smell, so I don't do that anymore. It wasn't any special. The whole point was I was trying to work it and manipulate it to fit me instead of what God does. And so when I go in there and I'm sincere about it, something really powerful happens. The one thing that doesn't happen is that I pray and all my problems go away. Hasn't happened yet. But my awareness in step 10 is based on what I did in the morning on step 11. So I leave the house instead of a nervous wreck full of fear, worried about money and bills. I leave after having an hour of quiet time with God, and so I'm ready to do step 10 all day. And generally what will happen to me is my boss, who's my dad, will call me even before I get to work. And if I'm not ready, that conversation goes from, yes, sir, I'll take care of that, to fuck you and hang up, you know? So I have to be ready. I have to be, and God knows what we need, so that's a very important thing to me. At night, I'll be honest with you, I don't do anything special. So it says when we retire at night, we review the day. We ask ourselves this question. That's where the nightly inventory comes in. I had a guy one time who called me out of the blue, who from Illinois, who knew Tarek and got my number, and he asked me if he wanted to send me a nightly inventory every night, and I'd send him one. That's fine. I mean, there's some accountability to it. I didn't really get anything necessarily from it spiritually, but it asked these questions, and they're pretty simple. Were you selfish? The answer should never be no, you know? I answer, and what it boils down to, I look at all these questions, but one of them is pretty important. Do I owe an amends or apology for something I did today? Thankfully, the way I live now, and I think the way Dylan tries to live now, is while doing 10, 11, I don't go to bed knowing I owe an apology. Just don't do it anymore. My wife and I have also made a decision, don't go to sleep without saying I love you, and even if it's you're mad when you say it, just say it. That's a good feeling to go to bed and go, you know, I didn't rob anybody. That's the new stuff. I mean, that's the beginning stuff. No prostitutes, no robbery, no pawning. That's our good day. But now it's all my bills are paid. I did what I told that guy I was going to do. I said that guy was going to show up at the meeting. I did it. And I lay in bed and I have peace because of what I did that day. But I also have this long list of selfish, 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 arrogant, all this shit. And it's not a bad thing anymore. Like Dylan said, we meet God in our brokenness. This room is full of broken-ass people in a way that a lot of people will never understand. And so the journey back to wholeness is something that other people won't understand either. There's a big gap from where we are to where we need to get, and God does the work, and that's where the real power is. So to me, it's a very important thing. Again, step 11 is way back here, way down the line, but that certainly does not mean you should not be praying right now, whatever that looks like for you. I imagine here that there's a time carved out in the morning. I'm sure your schedule does not say sleep in anywhere, okay? So there's a time to get alone, be quiet. If you don't believe in God, it does not matter. At the end, I was having a conversation with a guy outside that said, be quick to see where religious people are right. My whole thing locked up in that was, well, I'm good with God, but my God's the only one that matters, the only one that counts. That's not the way it works. I do research on Buddhism and all these other religions. Find the stuff that works, or don't do any of that stuff right now. Get alone, be quiet, and experience God. You guys are, I always have to say this before I go. I don't want to be like a, I'm not pushing anything on you. You can believe that the Bible's a fairy tale, just a fiction book. And it's okay, there's still some good ideals in there. But one of them says, one of the verses says, don't babble on like the pagans do. So basically it's talking about a prayer where you sit there and you run your mouth for 25 minutes and it's a list of things God needs to do for you. Sometimes I just say, good morning, Dad, help me. And listen, he's heard all the talk, you know. And sometimes it's an open thing. But really what it talks about, we only pray for areas that make us more effective to other people. Getting a new bass boat, it may help other people, but that's not what I should be praying for. My football team winning more than 9 games this year is not very effective to other people. But again, remember when we talked about character defects, this idea that some character defects are useful to help others, we have to pray that prayer with the understanding that we don't know what's good for us. So does that mean I'm supposed to get out of this charge or I'm supposed to go to jail? I don't know. It's all up to God. And he'll line up the way. But basically what we say is, I'm showing up to life today. It might suck. It might get low. But I'm here for it. What do you got for me? Now, I will caution you. If you start saying that prayer, he's got something for you. You know, and stuff will start opening up. So you got to be ready to do the action that follows that. But really what it is me, again, reiterating the idea that I've lost the job of management. I'm no longer in charge. You're in charge. Show me what to do. And then the 10th step I use every 10 minutes. I mean, it's just I know people that sometimes will sit for every hour and review what happened in the last hour. I don't do it that way. There's no right or wrong way. The whole point is, did you spend all day in conversation with God? Yes or no. That's where it works. And then I realize, as I grow in that understanding and effectiveness, and I'm better to help other people, if I do that for 6 months, I'm closer to God regardless of whether I wanted to or not, whether I believed it would work or not, and I become more effective to helping other people. That's all I got. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Steve. Dylan, drug addict. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. Spoiler alert, hardest fucking step to practice.
Yep.
Hands down. 100%. If we're going off percentages, maybe 30% of the time, I'm actively watching. That's okay. My next purpose is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. Grow implies that I have to move from where I currently am. And wherever I currently am is okay. And I'm not going to go over the mechanics. TJ covered them wonderfully. Love and tolerance of others is our code. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I'm real loving and tolerant towards other drug addicts and alcoholics. Not so much with people who are not. You know, I have this idea and this belief system about the way regular people should act and behave. And I'm not always very tolerant of the fact that they struggle with the internal condition and I don't like the way it affects me. And it sucks, you know. But like TJ alluded to, it brings us back to the table with God. But then you go into so you get the mechanic side of what to do on 84, but 85 it tells us why and some more of what to do. And it says after the 10 step promises, middle of 85, it is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels, i.e. past accomplishments, right? We're headed for trouble if we do for alcohol, meth, cocaine, heroin, fentanyl, whatever, or subtle foes. We are not cured of alcoholism or addiction. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. What does that look like and what do they mean? So when I sit down, because it's hard to talk about 10 without 11, right? Because I'm not really going to be able to watch my thought life without an active meditation practice. So when I sit down and I ask myself two questions, do I know why I'm fixing to do this? And is my heart present to what I'm doing? Sometimes it's not. You know, I get up at 4:30 in the fucking morning and I don't have to be at work till 7. Right? But I have a routine that I do. And it's get up, brush my teeth, start coffee, walk the dog, smoke a cigarette, come in, ask the two questions, read, meditate, pray. You know, meditation fluctuates for me. I try not to be so dogmatic. I burn incense and sage, and I don't care that my sister doesn't like the way they smell. You know? But when I'm sitting there considering the 24 hours a day, and it talks about it upon awakening. So like this morning, I wake up, alarm goes off. So I get up, smoke a cigarette, drink coffee, no dog to walk, come back up. I ask the two questions, and then I think, you know, I consider this. I have a very loose plan about how this shit's supposed to go, but how am I going to interact with y'all, and how is God going to allow me to best carry his message to y'all and touch whoever it needs to touch? We're really only here to talk to maybe 5 people at best, you know, and that's okay. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. Now, here's the killing part. Now, in 3, I gave up my will to the care of God. Now, I've done the actions through 4 through 9, and I can exercise my willpower along this line. God's will, not Dylan's, be done. This is the proper use of the will. Right? If I'm more concerned with how can you get yours than how I get mine, God will take care of Dylan. And I carry that in the morning, and I carry that throughout the day, most days. Not always. Now, it says, much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from him who has all knowledge and power, i.e. God. If we have carefully followed directions, meaning have I taken the actions outlined up to this point, we begin to sense the flow of his spirit into us. To some extent, we have become God conscious. How many street dudes in here?
A bunch of them,
right? You know the saying, your first mind's never wrong? It was introduced to me, Brandon P. He's definitely not a street dude, but he. we were having this talk about intuition. And you know that first, like, hey, don't get in that car, right? And then it's the voice of the liar kicks up and we'll be fine. And next thing you know, you got 5 trafficking charges and your old lady's fucking your best friend, you know? Right? Because see, here's the thing, man, is that the voice of God's always been with me. Whatever it looks like, intuition, you know, whatever you want to call it. This thing has always been with me. It talks about it in We Agnostics, deep down inside every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God. And if you buy into this second step proposition that God is everything, then we're all a reflection of God, right? Because if I cut an onion in half, is it still an onion? How many times can I cut it till it's not an onion anymore? It's always be an onion, right? The thing is that it's obscured by this pomp and worship of other things and circumstances and this, you know, the ego, this false belief I have about who I truly am.
And this is why it's important to sit in prayer and meditation, because it clears the channel. Right now, we were having a little, I jumped into somebody's conversation, actually. I'm bad about that, but they were talking about meditation and like having these experiences early on and then chasing them, you know. And I remember first 4 months, I didn't meditate. You know, I thought it was very fucking woo-woo, and that's what the Bra Crystal people did. I got introduced to it. I got hooked on Mark Houston tapes. And so I started meditating. I'll never forget, dude. I was at Out From Under, the sober living in Vestavia. I'm laying on the couch, focusing on my breathing, and I've probably been doing it for 3 weeks. And, like, I have this out-of-body experience. Like, whatever force animates this body is over my body. And I'm, like, watching. And I don't know how long it happened, but I chased that shit like I chased crystal meth and whores, you know? And that's what I needed at that time. That was the first time I had experienced, like, the God consciousness. Like, really. So it says, but we have begun to develop this vital, there's that word again, sixth sense. This God consciousness is necessary for life if I want to stay on this track. Case in point, why it's real important to pray and meditate. You know, but there's some real practical applications in here. How many of y'all have a problem with religious people? Show of hands. All right. I get it. So I was the guy that would study all these various religions, right? I was in prison and hung out with the people in Nation of Islam. And if you know anything about that, they're not real big on the white folks. And I would study Sufism and Sunnis and Christians and Mormons and all this. And I would argue with them about why their God wasn't real. And then I have this, you know, this experience, and I come to y'all. And if you study everything, man, just at a basic level, all religion is don't be an asshole and love your neighbor, pretty much. You know? They put a bunch of fancy words and pomp and circumstance on it. So when I first got sober, God, please keep me sober today and help me be honest. It's a prayer I ran into the ground. And I can't tell you when. Actually, I can tell you when. There was this dude I was super mad at. Now, I'm not a big fan of the stories in the back, but there's one. There's one called Freedom from Bondage that's got some real good instructions in it. So I got this resentment at this guy, and I'm praying, right, as good as I can pray at 60 days to 6 months. And I remember Mark telling me, I just call him bitching about this dude, and he said, well, pray for the motherfucker, you know? And I was like, that shit ain't gonna work. And I keep on getting ate up by it. And funny thing happened. I started praying for this motherfucker. 2 days, God, please do something for this motherfucker, you know? Day seven, God, please make sure I'm going to leave their name out because they might listen to this. It's safe and protected. And guide them throughout their life. I started to mean it. And I didn't set out to, you know. I was legit mad. And I think rightfully so, but who cares? So how do I get from this point of praying for myself? Because it strictly informs me not to do so, unless it will benefit others. But I don't know about y'all, but I can do some real mental gymnastics on how me getting a F-150 2023 with 36s on it will benefit everybody else. You know, or me not, you know, me not going to jail will help a lot of people, God, I'm telling you, you know. And what ended up happening is my prayer life transformed. But how do you know what you don't know? I feel like, personally, and I could be wrong, I usually am, that it's the natural progression of things. I start out praying, God, keep me sober, right? Please, like I need to tell him what to do. And it shifted sometime around 6 months, 9 months. I can actually, November the 5th, 2021, I went to jail. Probably set the record for thy will be done. I had a morning meditation practice and prayer. It had shifted from, God, help me do these things, to God, use me to do whatever you need me to do. And most days it's like that, you know? I pray a lot for people and for direction for myself. And the only thing I really pray for is to be divorced from selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear, and my own version of the seven-step prayer. And what I end up finding, hell, I had an experience this week, Thursday, last day at work. Work at a treatment center, I answer the phones and I do assessments and I get people into treatment. So I got this lady this state-funded bed. And you know how drug addicts are, you know, I got things going on, man. I'm addicted to fentanyl, but boy, I got a life going, right? And so but there's some legitimate, you know, when people got kids, specifically women, you can't just say, well, just leave your kids at home. You know, it's not 1990 anymore. And she's got these two dogs, and nobody to take them. And I got her a bed at about 1 o'clock. We didn't think we were going to get her one because it's state funding and we only have so many slots, whatever. And I called her and I said, well, look, I'm just going to go ahead and set your ETA for 10 p.m. It's the latest I can do it, and we're going to say a prayer together. It's on a recorded line for a treatment center. We say, you know, and I say a little quick silent prayer, and I reach out to some people I know that do fosters and all this stuff, and nobody's biting on my end, right? Bing! Get a text message on the computer. I got somebody to find the dogs at 4 o'clock. Now, what has that got to do with anything? Through my own experience of praying for myself and for other people to be useful to other people, I start to watch God work in other people's lives. You see what I'm saying? Because it's real cool when I'm like, God, thy will be done, thy will be done, thy will be done. When I'm sitting in Jefferson County Jail on probation and on a new charge and they let me sign myself out. That's awesome. I'm not going to lie to you. It's fucking amazing. And I went to a treatment center just like this one and I was speaking that night, you know, because I'm not confused on what keeps me sober. But the coolest thing is to watch the power of prayer impact somebody else's life. Now, the flip side of that is, what used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. I get this ability to listen as a result, I believe, of meditation. I don't have to dominate conversations anymore. I understand what you're saying without saying anything. Right? I know when to talk and when to listen most times, unless you're my kid or my sister. Then I really stick my foot in my mouth. But sponsees, you know. I can kind of listen. But being still inexperienced, it is not probable that we're going to be inspired at all times. And that's the most beautiful part to me of the 11th step. Because it doesn't matter how goddamn good I do a 10th step throughout the day and I focus on the breath and I turn my attention to who I can help and I just kick fear and resentment's ass all day. It's the days when I really shit the bed, for lack of a better term, right? And somehow, I'm sitting down in my bed doing a nightly review, and even though I've missed the mark on all this stuff, God still kept me safe and protected, you know? Because again, there's nothing I can do. It doesn't matter, really. No human power and no action on a human's part is going to keep me clean and sober. There's some things I can do to smudge the window to get access to the grace. But I have to be aware of it. I'm a firm believer that recovery is a gift. And that might sound heretical to some people, but whatever. You know, it's just, and I'm probably wrong. I don't know. Because I wanted to get sober. How many of y'all said a prayer, God, if you get me out of this one, I'll never do it again? And meant it. And meant it. Right? So maybe there's, you know, I mean, obviously there's some action that needs to follow up, but even the action, I don't know if that's enough. I think it's all grace. Right? But how often am I remembering God? Some days a lot, some days not so much. But the beautiful thing about it, man, is through these practices, I get this awareness. And the coolest thing about prayer and meditation is like, so let's just say that TJ says, hey, Dylan, I want you to take me back through the steps. Or when Roscoe calls us, I got no idea what we're going to do. Right? And I follow this intuition and it goes off pretty good, other than the fact that LSU's getting their ass kicked right now. Because God shows up, right? I carry the vision of God's will into all my activities. And usually I'm a little bit off the mark. But he shows up and he moves and he touches who he touches. You know, but this idea, the one thing I'll tell you, and I left my fucking book in the truck. Practice. Y'all remember that Michael or Allen Iverson clip? I'm talking about practice? If you practice for the day, you win. So I'm going to butcher it. It's out of 365 Dow. It doesn't matter what you do, prayer, meditation, exercise. If you've done it today, you win. Because what we really have is a daily reprieve. Because I can wake up tomorrow and go, I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to meditate. Right? I'll be fine. I've been doing this shit for 2 years and 8 months. I'm all right. And suddenly, the thought will occur. Just like you ain't going to stay full off that chicken salad you ate for lunch all the way till tomorrow. You're not going to stay connected to God and aware of God based off the actions of a previous day or a spiritual experience you had if you've been sober for a while, 2 to 5 years ago, or however long you've been sober. My experience has been that all spiritual experiences and awakenings have a shelf life. And that's why I have to continue. And that's probably the most important word in this. I was talking to Cannon about that down by the pond. It's the first thing it says after the amends. Continue. And doesn't ever give me a spot to let up. I think we're going to wrap. We're going to stop right there. We'll come back at 2:15 and get into 12. Thank y'all, guys.